Thank you for that good song. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter number 3. We're continuing our study on It's Time to Seek the Lord, and I pray these messages have been a help to you, and they have had you to draw closer to the Lord, have you to seek Him more, and your personal fellowship with the Lord. I hope that you've drawn closer to Him. If it hasn't, we've messed up somewhere for sure, because that's been the emphasis over the last couple of weeks, and I pray that that has taken place. Colossians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 4 is our text of Scripture. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I want you to notice that phrase there, seek those things which are above. And then he says in verse number 2, set. Set, not just seek, but set your affection on things above. I don't know if how you feel about this statement, but I believe every believer seeks. We sought the Lord for salvation and He saved us, amen? Every believer seeks, but I can't tell you for sure if every believer set. I mean concrete, they set their affection on things above. So we're going to be preaching a little while on seeking and setting our affection on things above as we continue in this series. We need the Lord's help this morning. Let's go to Him and with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd hide me behind the cross, hide me behind Your perfect revelation of Yourself, the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'd revive us again. Lord, I pray, oh God, that You'd move among us. I feel so incapable, so frail, weak this very moment. Lord, I pray You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Use me for Thy glory and for Thine honor. May we do nothing through for ourselves and for us, Lord, may Your Son receive the glory and honor. Stir and work among Your people. May we draw closer to You. Be with that one that might be lost, Lord. They've had maybe a form of godliness. They've made some sort of prayer, but it's not been sincere, and they don't have everlasting life. Lord, I pray You convict them of their sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray that they'd call upon the name that's above every name and be saved today. And Lord, for Your church, Lord, I pray judgment will begin in the house of God. And we'd examine ourselves and search ourselves where we're at, and we draw closer to You this morning. And we'll give You the praise and give You the honor and the glory for all that You will do. And we're confident, Lord, that Your word will not return void as it goes forth from this place. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want you to notice a few things with me, just to kind of get our appetite. I want you to notice in this text of Scripture that word seek. Seek. Seek those things. Now, we've been talking about that a lot, that word, it's time to seek the Lord. That's a pretty common word, really. Have you ever lost your cell phone before? Well, you'll seek for it until you find it, right? You ever lost your keys before? Well, you'll seek for them until you find them. Why? Because they're needed. Because they're valuable. And if you seek God, you're saying, saying within yourself, God is valuable. He's needed in my life if you seek after Him. If you don't seek after Him, you didn't seek Him this morning, you didn't seek Him throughout the week, and it's just a morning little prayer for 90 seconds, and you didn't really seek the Lord, you're saying to yourself, He's not really valuable. I don't really need Him, because you don't seek Him. You seek what is valuable and what is needed. Is that all clear amongst everybody? It's just true, isn't it? Seek Him. We're to seek Him. And then the Bible says, seek those things which are above. Well, that's in contrast to above, things that are earthy, things that are below, things that are carnal. There's always going to be a struggle between the things that are above and the things that are below. There's always going to be a struggle. You're not going to get to a place in your Christian life where you'll not have the pull for other things. I know the evil one. I know him very well. And he's always going to put something in your path. And then notice how many times Christ is used in this text of Scripture. If you then be risen with Christ.
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Everything is focalized around Christ. It is hubbed around Christ. The Christian life is Christ. The Christian life is Christ. If your life doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, then you're not living the Christian life. We should think Jesus. We should study Jesus. We should want to proclaim Jesus, because that's the Christian life. And then things. The word things. Not on things on this earth. But things which are above, verse 1. Things. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's always a struggle between the things of God and the things of this world. And then I thought this word was interesting. On. Set your affection on things above. It means that it's some sort of permanence, right? Verse 2. It's on them. I mean, you're set on them. Like you're not moving, you're not budging. Your heart is on fire and passionate for God, and it's set on things above. And then I noticed something very, very good in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let me tell you something, beloved. Jesus is coming. He's coming. When he shall appear, they'll mock, they'll scoff, and they're mocking and they're scoffing. Our world, the spotlight of the world, was on the Olympics this week, and they mocked and scoffed the very things of God, the things that are above. And they mocked and scoffed, and they still ridicule his coming, don't they? Oh, he'll never come again. We can go on living the way. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again, and he will set straight what has all been made wrong. We don't have many more days to live for Jesus. We don't have many more days to do what we ought to be doing for the Lord. Jesus will appear. He will manifest himself. He will appear. And the better news is this, and we will appear with him also. What a day that's going to be. We'll get there if the Lord will help me this morning. Seeking things above. Number one, we've got to lay a foundation of some things. Number one, I want to lay a foundation to you about what God's will is for you since you've been saved. The Bible says in Galatians 1 and verse number 4 that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Okay, just hear these verses. He said in Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to these verses. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said in John 14, but I don't want to take them out of the world, but I want to leave them in the world, that they go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all people, right? And then in Titus, he said, they're going to be in the world, right? But they're to live soberly and righteously and godly. Live godly in this present world, right? Okay. So those verses teach that it's not God's will for us to be like the world. He actually saved us and delivered us out of this present world. Deliver us from this present world. He said, I don't want you to be conformed to the world, but I want you to live godly in this present world, right? That's God's will. It's God's will that we live like Christ in this world and not like the world. A Christian is to be like Christ, like little Christ. So we establish that is the will of God, not to be as the world when we are in the world. It's a reminder that while we live in the world, we're not to be like the world, but we're to be like Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Justin, that's pretty elementary. I know, but that still needs to be said. God said, be separate from the world. Separate, to separate yourselves from the world. To love not the world. Don't have any affection for the world, for the world system. None of it. Love not the world, neither the, here it is, things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty strong language. That's God talking. That's not me talking.
He said to cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. We're to be separate from the world. We're not to be of the world. Even though we're in the world, we're to be like Christ. The text makes that very clear. All those texts. That's what this text is saying. Doesn't say it specifically, but it's understood. If our heart is in heaven, we set our affection on things above, we're not going to want to have anything to do with this world. Amen? Set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. When our affection is up there, you won't have to worry about being bothered by things down here. That's the idea that's being given here in those scriptures. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever learned this lesson. I sure hope that you have learned this lesson, but I don't know quite sure if the church has learned this lesson. There's nothing in the world for us. Nothing. Nothing in this world for the believer. It's all vain. It runs right through your fingers and gone. It's empty. It's like chasing the wind. There's nothing in this world for me and you. Everything we have is up in heaven, amen. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. Have you learned that? Have you really learned that the world disappoints? That the devil, he's a liar, number one. I'm telling you, young people, older people, all people in between, the world has nothing for the believer. The way of the transgressors is hard. Hard. But everything's up yonder. All of our prayers, all of our hopes, all of our treasures, all of our monies, all of our dreams, and our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is up there and He's fixing to come back and get us. Amen. Oh, that gets me excited right there. We've been waiting for Him to come back a long time, and we could be the generation that sees Jesus come back and we skip dying and Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You better grunt at least. Amen. That is wonderful, and we're anticipating the imminent return of Jesus Christ. So we better set our affection on things above. Everything's up there. Everything's up there, and there's nothing down here. I'm telling you what God's saying by set your affection on things above. He's saying divorce yourself completely from the system of this world. Divorce it. Say, you're for divorce? Absolutely. Divorce in the world. Divorce in the devil. I mean, break ties with it completely. Divorce it. Don't, anything that has any tinge of worldliness to it whatsoever, music, dress, whatever it is, divorce it. Ideologies, news, whatever, divorce it. Get rid of it. God hates worldliness. Separate yourself from it. Get far away from it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh, he's going there. I'm going there. There is something wrong with this generation. We preach so many standards in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s that preachers are scared to stand up and preach to be a separated, holy Christian in the day and hour that we're living in. But it's still in the Bible. And I'm not preaching standards, but I can if you'd like me to. I'm just preaching be holy unto God. And live completely unto God. And when you do that, you will not love the world. If you're up there all the time, you won't have a problem with being worldly, I promise you. Why are they so different? They've been up there with Jesus long enough. They've been up there with Jesus. Get out of the world system. Divorce yourself from it. And I just want to remind you, the world's got nothing for you. Nothing at all. Jesus has got a wonderful life for all of us. If we'll just follow Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a faithful Father. He's a great, gracious God, isn't He? And it's worth it to set your affection on things above. There's a reality in this text of Scripture. Makes perfect sense to you. If you then be risen with Christ. Verse 1, you see that there? There's a reality. If you then be risen with Christ. If you're saved, that's what that means. If God's resurrected you, you've died with Him in verse 3, right? But if you're risen with Him, because you've died with Him in verse 3, and you've died with Him in chapter 2 and verse number 20, You'd be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world. If you've died with Christ, then you're risen with Christ. And if you're risen with Christ, it only makes sense. This is the reality. It only makes sense that you're going to seek those things which are above. That's just what you're going to do. Christians that are worldly is a contradiction of terms. A Christian that is worldly is a contradiction of terms, because Jesus said in his perfect preserved book, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That don't mean much explanation. That just needs to be preached. That just needs to be said. If you've been risen with Christ, you're going to seek the things that are above. Well, Brother Justin, there's a pull from things. Don't you know that? I know that. But there'll be a greater pull, like a compass pulls to the north, right? And it pull. And there's a greater compass pulling you. There'll be some pulls away, but there's a greater pull. And I'm telling you what, if you're born again, there'll be a great pull from your Heavenly Father, and He'll even chastise you. He'll even chasten you. He'll even take you to the woodshed. Can I get a witness? Because you're born of God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It only makes sense if we're born again that we don't want anything that we were saved out of. I said it only makes sense that we wouldn't want the things that we were saved out of. Why would we want to go back to Egypt? We're living in Canaan now. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. It makes no sense. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. This only makes more sense. That's where Christ is. He's our Savior. We're not seeking the pearls. We're not seeking the gold. We're not seeking the throne. We're seeking the one that is next to the throne at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ, where Christ sitteth on the throne. Amen? That's who we're seeking. It's not that we're seeking the what of heaven. We're seeking the who of heaven. Amen. That's who we seek. And the reality is, if you've been born again, check yourself, examine yourself. If you're in Christ this morning, if you are born again, you are going to want to be around the things of God. I love you. I want you to go to heaven with me. I'm looking at you. I'm not going to take for granted that people are born again that come to church every Sunday. I can't do that. I can't do that with my own kids. Do you understand that? Well, excuse me. Well, one of them prayed a prayer. I'm not going to take it granted because they prayed a prayer that they're going to heaven. I'm not telling them they're saved. Are you kidding me? Y'all all right? I'm not doing it. That's their soul. That's their eternal soul. And I can't take for granted on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, just because you warm a pew, you're in heaven, seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But if all you think you've got to do is check off a proverbial box and make it to church every little once in a while just to appease me, look up here, it's preaching time. You've got a serious problem with your heart, and you might not be born again. I didn't say you weren't born again. I said you might not be, and you need to examine yourself before a holy God whether you're saved. Because if you be risen with Christ, you're going to want the things of God. Well, I got to go to church on Sunday morning. It's my duty. And that's about all I'll do, and I won't be back any other times. Revival on the weekdays, are you kidding me? It's hard to get off work and get there. Other people do it that love God and seek Him. What are you born again? Did Christ change you? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You better examine yourself whether you be in the faith. If you love God, that'll be known of you. That's the reality. That just makes sense. If I love my wife, I'm going to want to be with my wife. I don't want her away. She had to go somewhere the other day. And I called her. And I said, baby, I was at the church. I said, baby, come by and see me before you leave. She walked in there. It's funny, Caitlin. She walked in there. She said, what you need? She did. She said, what you need? I said, I don't need anything. I said, you're going to be gone for 3 hours, going to do something. And I usually see you somewhere between 4 and 6 in the afternoon. And I just want to hug your neck and kiss you before you left. If you love somebody, and I love her, I want to be with her at least a couple times out of the day, you know. If you love Jesus, you'll want to be with him a couple times out of the day. Sure. Amen. Come on now, folks. Are you saved? Are you born again? Or is it religion? Hey, this is not a religious place. This is a Christian place. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hate me because I tell you the truth, as Paul would say. I'm loving you right now. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want to see you go to hell. Are you born again? What if Jesus would appear, verse number 4? He's coming. I can hear him coming. I can turn on the news and see he's coming. I can turn on Facebook and see he's coming. I can look in public places and see things going on. I can hear him real loud. The trains are coming down the track. Jesus is coming soon. Hey, he's coming. It's not very long. I think he's going to come in my generation. I think we're going to see the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe he's coming. Hey, are you ready to meet him if he came this afternoon? Can you say in your heart, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Please, go ahead and take me. Go ahead and take me. I know my sins are forgiven. I know my life has been changed. Come on, Lord Jesus. I know I'm serving you like I ought to. I know my heart's in the right spot. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Daddy. Come back to the house. I know it's real clean. I know it's real clean, my house. Mama, come on, look at my room. I know it's clean. Yeah. You heard about the boy. Ready to get married. He got engaged and had to go do a bunch of work. In the olden times, he'd go do a bunch of work. He was off for a couple months, and they planned that they'd have the wedding 6 months out, but he came back home early, 4 months. And not 6 months, he came back home. He came down the driveway to his fiance, and he pulled up the driveway earlier. Pulled up, lights were on in the house. You hear a bunch of commotion in the house. Pulled up, saw his fiance partying with another man, kissing on him, and everything like that, because he came back earlier than she expected. There's going to be a lot of people. They're going to be shocked, because he's not going to come back when you think he is. Oh, it'll be longer than that. I don't see it. But those that are saved and right with God, we see that his coming's just right around the next bend. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 3 and verse number 2. Those that are living pure think Jesus is coming in the morning time. You see what I'm talking about? That's the reality. If you are saved and expecting him to come back, there's going to be a change. That's the reality. Now the responsibility. I understand what we're doing here. We're not getting down the road very fast at all tonight, are we? And it is morning time. It's not night time. We're not getting down the road very fast this morning. But this will preach good another time too. Amen. Verse 2 tells us about our responsibility. If you're risen with Christ, you need to go ahead and just set your affection on things above. I mean, set your affection. That's your mind right there. Your affection. What goes through your mind and your heart all the time. Who in here say, Brother Justin, it sure is easy to get preoccupied with things that don't matter. Raise your hand right there. Oh my goodness, the world's good at that and the devil is too. And I like to be honest with folks as much as I can. Sometimes I'll get on my phone, I'll pull that thing out and I'll start looking at it, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I just wasted 30 minutes looking at nothing. He preoccupies us with lesser things when we should be preoccupied with the greatest, Jesus Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on the things. Set it like a concrete post set in the ground. Put that quick creed around. I mean, it's solid as solid can be. Like this pulpit, it's pretty solid right here. Got to get a couple grown men to move it around. Set like that, or maybe even better than that. You ever seen a concrete, seen a telephone pole and somebody ran through the pole, but it's set in the bottom still? Like they went through the pole, the rest of it's over yonder, but the part that was set in the ground, it's still there. It didn't pull the pole up with the concrete. It's still down. That's what God says. I want you to set your affection. There's a lot of people seeking, but there's a very few that are set. They done made up their mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's it. I'm not loyal to my pastor. I'm loyal to my pastor, Jesus Christ. Come what may, winds may blow hard. I'm going to be loyal to him because he's coming back very, very soon. And I'm going to set my affection on things above. How about set like Jesus is set at the right hand of God the Father? You know, right now, Jesus ain't worried about anything. He's not biting his fingernails. He's not squirming around in the seat up there at the right hand of God. When he gets good and ready, he'll say, oh, here we go. Come get my bride. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Set like that. Just steady, easy, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of love. work of the Lord set like that. Set your affection on things above. The word here today takes us to another world. Live out of this world. Live up there in the Beulah land of the Spirit. Get up there to the heights of heaven. Fly higher and higher and higher. Say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Get in the book right here. Get in the book of God and read the scriptures and know God is to know His revelation and pray and pray again and seek Him and ye shall live. Seek Him and ye shall find. Set your affection on things above. Set. Keep your heart with all diligence. So that doesn't say set. It has the idea of keeping. It means you keep it in that place of surrender. Keep it in that place of passion for God. Let Christ crowd out all the lesser things of life. Let Christ crowd out all the lesser things of life. Don't let the lesser things of this world crowd out Christ, but let Christ crowd out the lesser things. What's happening in the church today is the lesser things are crowding out Christ. There's boys and girls not in church because baseball's more important. There's boys and girls not in church because gymnastics is more important. There's mamas and daddies that say, those things are more important than church, so we'll go to those things. There's people that are just lazy, indifferent, apathetic. They love their bed and they love their lazy boy more than they love Jesus because that's where they'll be when church time comes. That's exactly right. We've got to get our heart up there and let Christ crowd out all those lesser things instead of those lesser things crowding out Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. That sounds like set, doesn't it? Stayed upon Jehovah. Stayed upon Jehovah. Set upon Jehovah. And God, let me tell you something, church, God will give you peace when your mind stayed on him. Some of you are like the sea and the waves are everywhere. I watch people. I'm like, good. Help them, Lord, please. And I say, God, give them some peace. But you know what? God gives peace when you get your mind stayed upon Jehovah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah. We talked to you about the responsibility. We've talked to you about the reality. I only talked to you just briefly on the resource where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's the resource. He's everything you need. There's nothing down here and everything up there because everything is up there. Everything, his name is Jesus. He's everything to you. You know what Jesus called, God called it in his word? God called him in his word? Colossians 3:11. But Christ is all and in all. He's everything. All that you need is in Jesus. You got a problem? I don't have the solution. But Jesus is the solution. He is the solution. You don't need no more religious experience. You don't need a second blessing. You don't need an added blessing apart from the perfect salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is all that you need. He's everything. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. He's got whatever you need in His disposal. You have all grace for all things. You have all sufficiency in all things. Everything that you need, you find in the fountain of all blessings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the resource. But you don't get it down here. You get it up there. You can't get it playing around with the world down here and all the devil's toys and trinkets and gimmicks. You're not going to get it down here. You got to get up there. You got to get up there. You got to pay the price. You got to set your affection on things above. And when you set your affection on things above, you'll get next to him and you'll say, boy, this thing hasn't changed at all. My circumstances aren't any different, but it sure is going a lot better in my spirit. Everybody's wanting their circumstances to change, but sometimes God doesn't change the circumstances. He uses those circumstances to draw us close to him, and we find that his grace is sufficient for thee. We find that his peace does abound and his comfort does abound. He's the resource. And here also there's a reason. There's a reason. The word for in your Bible is a word of reason. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And then look at verse 3. For ye are dead. Look, the reason you set your affection on things above is because you already died to it earlier. Who knows with a shadow of a doubt that you're born again? Say amen and raise your hand. We died to all that stuff. So why would we go back to it? Why would we set our affection, as I said before? The reason you set your affection on things above, because you already died to it. And number two, because your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that's a beautiful expression, isn't it? I mean, think about these expressions in the Word of God. They're not ideas, they're realities. These are unbelievable realities. Look here real quick. I'm having a good time. I hope you are too. These are unbelievable certainties, unbelievable realities. Just for a moment, let me have myself a spell. Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's not an idea. That's a reality. That's not an idea. That's a fact. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. This is not an idea that Jesus might come back. He is going to come back. And we're going to appear with them. That's not an idea. That's a reality. That's a certainty. Wake up, church. Hallelujah. It's real. It's real. Amen. And this is not just an idea. This is a reality. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, brothers and sisters, what might that mean? That your life is hid with Christ in God. What might that mean? At least smile. At least make me think that you're actually considering what that might mean. That's incredible for one thing, but I'll give you what I think it might mean. If it means that my life is here with Christ and God, brother, 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 that means I'm all wrapped up in Jesus. I'm in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when the Father sees me, He sees Jesus. I'm all wrapped up in Him. I'm hid in Him. I'm in the treasure box of the hand of Jesus Christ. I'm hid in His hand. And nobody can get to me except they go through Jesus. And they ain't messing with Jesus. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the one that's coming back with an embroidery on the side of Him. The Word of God. He is King of Kings. Hallelujah. And they're not getting through Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. When I see my life is hid with Christ and God, I say to myself, if I'm all wrapped up in Jesus like that, well, I'm not going to look to this world. I'm going to set my affection on things above. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek for what He seeks for. I'm going to love Him with a pure heart. I'm going hard after God. You understand what I'm saying? What else could that mean? My life is hid with Christ and God. It just might mean, try to help somebody this morning. It might just mean that you better understand that the world doesn't understand you. They don't understand you. They don't see what you see. They don't understand what you understand. It's hidden to them. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto them. They don't experience what we experience, being all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and being washed in the blood and being forgiven. They don't understand why you'll be back tonight. They don't understand when you'll be back Wednesday. They don't understand why you love to do things with the church. They don't understand why you give. You know all the money that we give that's up there? All that money that we give that's up there. You could buy yourself a new home off of giving 10% if you gave for 30 years. You could buy me a whole new home. And the world will tell you, why do you give to the church like that? I'm not giving to the church. I'm giving to my lovely Savior that died on the cross for my sins. Amen. Don't expect them to understand that and get that. They're not going to, because they don't see what you see. You know what else I see in this? This might mean this. My life is hid with Christ and God. Not only I'm all wrapped up in Him, and understand that the world's not going to understand you. But third of all, it's got to have something to do, got to have something to do with everlasting security. If I'm all hid in Him, I'm not trusting myself to keep myself saved. I'm trusting Jesus and the finished work of Christ to keep me saved. He's everlasting life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're just all wrapped up together because we're joint heirs with God. Oh my goodness. Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. It's everlasting security. Now that's pretty secure to be hid with Christ in God. But that's the so. What do you mean the so? That's the for. We set our affections above because we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Say, why do I seek Him first? Why do I set my affection on things above? Because He saved you, and He's keeping you saved, and you'll never lose what He gave to you, and you are eternally secure in the everlasting Christ, everlasting life, which is Christ Jesus. I don't know. I can't give you no better reason. I could sit here and talk to you like a grandpa right now,
But I can't give you no better reason than that right there to seek the Lord. And if that don't tickle your fancy, nothing will. That's the thing. Everything is wonderful that God does for you and I until we get used to it. He's a wonderful Savior. And He's been so merciful and gracious to all of us. And He's coming back soon. I talked to you about the reason. Now I'm going to talk to you about that revelation. That revelation's in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. All those Christians that are misunderstood, all those deplorables, all those super conservative Christians that are all hid up and wrapped up in Jesus, one day, I don't know, just bear with me, one day Christ is going to unwrap us, and we're going to be with Him forever. And all those mockers and scoffers are going to say, oh my, oh, I heard them preach. I heard about that country preacher. I heard about that church on the corner that they believe that Jesus is coming soon. I don't know about y'all, but I want to put a big sign out here. Brandon, we're going to do it. You make certain we're going to do it. I want a big sign out front with a big cross. I want it tall. I want it loud. I want it bright. And I want it to say, Jesus is coming soon. You ever drive down the street before, drive down the interstate, and you see those big signs like that? Jesus is coming soon. Just make it white and red. That's it. What's going on? People need to understand that He is coming soon. They can scoff and mock, but they need to be reminded that Jesus is coming soon, and so do we. He shall appear in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. He will be glorified in His saints, the Bible says. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you realizing what's happening? Are you realizing what's happening in this world? Do you not see all the things that happen, or do you just get frustrated? Or do you just get mad? I'm not mad at all. I'm not discouraged in the slightest. I'm not. It all means that it's unfolding just according to God's timetable. And it's all coming towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all unfolding to that one event. He's coming again. He shall appear, and we shall appear with Him. Notice what He says here in Revelation 19 when He comes back. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. He's not coming back as a lamb the next time. He's coming back as a lion. He's not coming back soft. He's coming back swift with judgment and wrath, indignation. His fury will be poured out upon this world. He will be angry with the wicked. Well, He's angry with the wicked now, but that anger will be poured out. That wrath will be poured out. He's going to judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were as many crowns. And He had a name written that no man could know but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it He should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How you like that? He's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Pope's not coming back. Obama's not coming back. A president's not coming back. Some world leader's not coming back. Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord, that they mocked and crucified, is coming back, not as a lamb, but as a lion. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want Him to come. But I tell you what, when I say that, something deep down in my soul says, we've got a lot of work to do till He comes. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy where I'm at. So, church, set your affection on things above. Help me, church. Yeah. When you think about the coming of the Lord, you can't be satisfied. You can't be lukewarm. When you think about there ought to be a fire rise up in your soul. We've got a work to do. We've got souls that are dying and going to hell. Hell hath enlarged herself. Oh, people are dropping into hell one right after another. You've got family members. You've got friends that you know. Not even talking about those that you don't even know. What's it going to take? It's not a campaign. It's not a rally. Stay with me. It's not a program that sweet old pastor puts together that's going to change us. But every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. When we get our eyes on the second coming and we believe that, our behavior will change. I'm telling you, people of God, I'm telling you from a humble heart, I need a change. I need to be a better Christian. I need to be a soul winner. I need to change. And I'm telling you, programs and gimmicks won't do it. It's getting in this book, getting in your prayer closet, and having a hope that Jesus could come back any moment and believing it. You know it's true, don't you? And the world likes to say, oh, it's just nothing. Jesus is coming soon. I remember when Brother Weaver was here, he was a good preacher. I enjoyed his presence. He gave an illustration about how he was mowing grass, was supposed to be mowing grass for his dad to come back home. His dad went on a journey and was coming back. He's a little boy and he was out there mowing the grass. And he said, I knew I couldn't get all the grass mowed. It was just too much. But he said, I was just a little fella. I knew I couldn't. But he said, might not get it done, but at least when daddy showed up, at least I would be cutting the grass when he showed up. Who in here, lift your hand and say, there's a lot of grass to mow. Brother, there's a lot of grass to mow. But I want to get me at least a yard or two to mow. And when Jesus comes back, I want to be mowing the grass. Raise your hand. Jesus is coming soon. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Darling, sweetheart, I want to tell you, this world spits you back out real quick. The devil punch you in the face, and then when you get back on the ground, he'll take his boot and kick you in the nose and break your teeth. I'm telling you what, you don't want to live one moment for the world. You want to live all your moments for Jesus Christ because He is worth it all. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He's a great God. Give your whole life lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus. I mean to tell you what, if I could only tell you what that looks like to me, I don't think you'd believe me, but that means everything. He's wonderful and He's coming soon. Click, click, the moments are ticking by. And one of these days is going to be the last tick. And He's coming. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And all that we've done for Christ is the only thing that's ever going to matter. The only thing we've done with the gospel is all that's going to matter. Not trying to build this, build that, get this nicer, get this better. All that's done for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. But one day it's going to stop ticking. And Jesus is coming back. Friends and loved ones, we've got to reach them. Strangers, communities, neighbors, we've got to reach them. Jesus is coming soon. The world is coming to Jesus and they don't realize it. And Jesus is coming to the world and they don't realize it. But we better realize it. Jesus is coming soon. Say, Brother Justin, I got it. I got verse 2. Set your affection on things above because Jesus is coming soon. Don't just seek Him casually. You understand? There's a difference, isn't there? Don't just seek Him casually. I mean, make up your mind. Set your affection. Have your mind stayed upon Jehovah. Pray. Read the Word. Read 10 chapters a day. Pray for an hour every day. Why not? I mean, do whatever it takes to get set where you ought to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand. I've tried to be obedient all week to prepare for this message. I really have. I hope that I have been. There could be a lot better preachers to preach this message. But you've heard the Word of God. Jesus is coming soon. Say, in light of Jesus coming soon, I know He's coming soon. I want my life to be set in the heavenlies. I want my life to be set in the gospel. I want my life to count for Jesus. Pray for me, Brother Justin. You lift your hand up. Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go. Amen. If you raise your hand, I want you to just come forward. She's going to start playing right now, and you just come on. Say, I want my life to count for Christ. Jesus is coming soon. I don't want to be of this world. I want to be known of a person that's heavenly minded. I want to make a difference in my church. And in my church, I want to make a difference in this world. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Oh, He's wonderful, and He's coming. He's been so good to us, and He's coming. Just right around the bend, I do believe. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All the toil, all the labor, all the work, all the frustration, all the loneliness, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. You workers, you toilers, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus.